Brilliant, Adrian. Thank you very much. Oh, hang on. Adrian, thank you very much for reading for us. And as Adrian said, it's a very famous passage, isn't it? And I guess it's famous because Jesus just uses this really clear illustration. He gives us this picture of two different plants. One is alive and flourishing and growing and heavy with fruit, a beautiful vine. And the other branch is dead and dry and withered. And the question he puts to us, in essence, is which picture would you rather resembled your life? Which branch would you prefer to be like, a living tree or a dead branch ready to be thrown into the fire? And you can see the key verse here is in verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If we remain in Jesus, if we abide in him, we'll bear fruit. I guess we all want to make the most of our lives. We all want to live fruitful lives. And what Jesus is saying is stick with me and you'll bear much fruit. And he comes at it both positively and negatively. So positively, to abide in Jesus is to bear much fruit. So think about, again, about a bunch of grapes. Well, they're beautiful. They taste good. They're pleasing. And what a vine is supposed to do is to produce grapes. Well, what are we supposed to do as humanity? Well, we're supposed to live lives that are loving and kind, to work for the good of each other, to serve each other in a way that is pleasing, to serve God. In other words, we're to live a life, if you like, that tastes good rather than tasting bitter. And as we look at Jesus' life, well, we see a life that is fruitful, a life of love and compassion and integrity. So if we want to be fruitful, in essence, we're saying we want to be more like Jesus. So the way to be fruitful is to remain in him, to stick with him, to abide in him, listening to him, praying to him, seeking to please him. That's the positive. Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. And then Jesus comes at it from the negative. If you do not abide in me, you can do nothing apart from me. And you're thrown away like a branch and you wither as the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. In other words, if I don't remain in Jesus, I'm not going to grow like him. My love will shrivel and I'll become increasingly angry and bitter and selfish and not pleasing to God. And I think this is pretty challenging because we live in a society that says actually the way we got to go forward in life is to dig deep into ourselves. And Jesus here really says, actually, you want to dig deep into me because apart from me, you can do nothing else. So that's kind of the big idea of this lunchtime. Remain in Jesus to bear fruit. But let's push a little bit deeper into this. What does it really look like to remain in Jesus? And I think the first thing we see is to remain in Jesus is to remain in his love. Now, one sense, this whole series, we've been talking about what it looks like to remain in Jesus. We've talked about loving him, obeying him. We've talked about sticking close to the cross. We've talked about knowing him through his Holy Spirit. We've talked about setting our joy on Jesus. But here, Jesus talks about remaining in his love. So you can see it in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Why is it that a branch needs to remain on a tree in order to flourish? Well, because it's sucking, and the tree has the roots in the ground. They're sucking the nutrients, the moisture out of the ground and up through the trunk and into the branches. That's why if you cut a branch off a tree, you often get that sap that comes out, of course. That is the goodness. Well, like a branch, we're to abide in Jesus' love, to stay close to him, if you like, to feed on him. I guess one of the things that lockdown has done to our relationships is meant that we've got to work harder at things, haven't we? If we want to keep in touch with people, we've got to make an effort and actually diary in to see them because we're not just going to bounce off them in the way we might have done before. Well, so I think to remain in Jesus' love is to work closely or to work hard at staying close to him. So what does that look like, to work hard at that closeness, that remaining in Jesus? Well, at one level, Jesus says it's to remain in his words. So in verse 3, he tells us that the reason we're cleansed, forgiven of our sin, is because we've heard his words. And then in verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you. In other words, to remain in Jesus, to stick close to him, is to keep listening to his words. We were saying beforehand, one of the joys of this week is the kids have all gone back to school. And then the thing they'll struggle with is that when they get back to school, if they're not enjoying a science lesson or something, they can't just put their teacher on mute and turn their screen off and go and get a cup of tea. Well, I guess for school kids, there'll be teachers that they'll want to be putting on mute, but there might be others that they're interested in listening to. So I don't know, imagine an 11-year-old boy and his hero is Bear Grylls. You know, the survival guy. I watched a Bear Grylls film with my son on Friday night. It's terrifying. I wouldn't want to be Bear Grylls eating leeches and getting attacked by snakes while the camera crew keep recording you. Very odd. Anyway, imagine his hero is Bear Grylls and Bear Grylls comes to do an assembly at school online. What's he going to do? He's not going to mute him. He's going to be turning the volume up. Well, I think to remain in Jesus at one level is, if you like, to turn the volume up on Jesus' words, to really listen deeply to him. I mean, let's think, how would we describe Jesus? We would describe him as loving, as compassionate, as courageous, as strong, as honest. Is that not exactly how we would love people to describe us? Is that not what it means to live a life that is worth living, that is fruitful? And so if that is what we think of Jesus, and if we long to be more like him, then we'll want to listen to him, so that as we listen to him, by God's Spirit within us, we grow to be more like him. If we want to bear fruit for Jesus, he would say we've got to stick with him, with his words, listening to him speak. I guess that's partly what we're doing now, right? And one of the things I like about Paddington Talks is we put it right in the middle of the working day, so that amidst all the busyness of everything that's going on, we can take time out to listen to Jesus' words right in the middle of our working context and to come to him. Maybe it's something like this. Maybe it's listening to Jesus' words first thing in the morning as we get up and just try and read, maybe just for a couple of minutes, a little bit of the scriptures, just to draw close to him before we get into the thick of the day. I guess COVID, with not commuting, offers an opportunity to maybe to start working on some of these habits of reading the scriptures day by day, setting an alarm just that little bit earlier, perhaps, to try and come to Jesus. But certainly remaining in Jesus must mean sticking close to his word. But it's not just that. I think it is also sticking close to him in prayer. So to notice again in verse 7, Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done to you." Just like any relationship involves listening and speaking. So we listen to Jesus' words and we respond to him by speaking to him in prayer. Now, it's just worth saying, when he says, "Ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you," I don't think he's got Ferraris in mind. If Jesus' word is dwelling within us, then by nature we will ask questions and we will pray for the things that please Jesus. We'll be praying to become more like him. So as we listen to Jesus, we'll long to be more like him and we'll ask him to make that change in us. And by his Spirit, he will start to bear fruit in our lives, which is a wonderful truth, because it means that when I feel like that dry, withered, fruitless branch, whether because I'm conscious of sin in my life or the way I've let people down, or because I'm just finding it hard to articulate my faith to my friends, when I feel that sense of dryness, well, I can stay close to Jesus in prayer. I can come and pray to him and ask him to breathe life, to bear fruit in my life. It's something we can do individually. It's something we'll do corporately. We'll do it on Friday at 12:30 at the prayer meeting. We'll come together just for half an hour, pray for each other, that God would be bearing fruit in our lives, in our different situations. Now, I think it's just worth saying that one of the situations where we might particularly turn to prayer is when we go through a difficult time. And I don't want to skip over verse 2, because in verse 2, Jesus says, "Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Now, do you notice the word "every" there? This is something that every Christian, every follower of Jesus will experience. And it's that sense that sometimes God will prune us, and maybe he'll lead us through difficult circumstances, times when we feel dry, where he'll use a tough time around us to make us more prayerful and dependent on him. Sometimes he might use people around us, Christian friends who come alongside us and challenge us. I wonder how we feel when that happens. Someone says, "Look, I'm not sure you're getting it right." I think often it's very easy to get defensive, but he'll use people around us to prune us. Sometimes he'll use God's Holy Spirit in our lives, just putting his finger on ways in which we're not living fully for Jesus. I wonder if we're open to that, reflecting on life, praying. But you know, behind this difficult image of pruning is a wonderful truth that even in the tough times, even at the times that feel fruitless, as I keep remaining in Jesus, as I keep going with him, as I keep listening to him and praying to him, he can bear fruit even when he prunes me. So Jesus says, remain in my love, work hard at staying close to me, listening to his words, but also acting on them. You see that in verse 10, if you keep my commands, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's not just listening to Jesus' words, but it is acting upon them. For Christmas, we bought my daughter a unicycle. I don't know why, it's all she wanted. And I spent Christmas Day afternoon on YouTube looking at various tutorials on how to ride a unicycle. Has to be said, there's a certain type of person who puts that kind of tutorial up, and they're not lacking in self-confidence. Anyway, I sat there, I spent the afternoon looking at all these tutorials. The difference is that my daughter then went out and started doing it all, and now she can unicycle down the road quite happily. And I can't do it at all because I listened, but I didn't put it into practice. You kind of get the point that if we're going to stay close to Jesus, we need to listen to his words and then act on them, live them out. I guess there's all sorts of people who will tell us how we should live our lives. I think most of them are normally trying to sell us something. But there'll be people giving us all sorts of ideas. But as we see Jesus, the beauty of his life, well, when he starts to tell us how to live a life that is worth living, well, here is a wisdom that's worth following, that's worth sticking close to, that's worth obeying. So what Jesus is saying is really simple. If we want to bear fruit, we need to remain in his love, to work hard at keeping that relationship with him alive and vibrant, at obedience to him. That'll work out at an individual level. It'll also work out at a corporate level. So this is worth thinking about this. What did it look like for a church, for example? Well, at our church, we're just thinking about how we reach out to the area in mission. There's all sorts of stuff we'd love to do in the community. Food banks, debt counselling service, reaching out to the homeless. But at the heart of it all must be remaining in Jesus. There's a kind of a virtuous circle where we're remaining in him and therefore we're bearing the fruit of love and impacting people around us. But there's also a vicious circle where we're so focused on trying to do the outward stuff that we neglect our love of Christ. And actually then our hearts shrivel and we're ready to sellotaping bits of fruit onto a dead tree. What would it look like for us as the Paddington Talks? Well, I guess in our workplaces, we'll want to be bearing fruit. I sometimes talk to people who say, who are at the sort of early stages of their career, and they say, look, I'm really trying to prioritise my career at the moment, because if I can get senior, well, then I'll be able to have a real impact for Jesus. Now, it is true that it's helpful to have some senior people in workplaces, but we don't need that many. And actually, the way we'll bear fruit for Jesus is not by being senior in the office, but by remaining in him. And so it's that desire to stick with Jesus. Sometimes people say to me, well, I've got a choice tonight between going to my Bible study group or going out with my colleagues, and I really feel I need to be with them. Now, sometimes that might be the right decision. But actually, the way we'll bear fruit with our colleagues is not just by being with them, but by remaining in Jesus so that he is changing our lives, so that our colleagues can see something of the love of Christ in our lives. So to remain in Jesus is to remain in his love. Secondly, to remain in Jesus is to remain in Jesus's commandments. It's worth saying, what does the fruit look like? And I've got a video here. I'm not going to show all of this because we've probably got better things to do with our time. But what it shows is a vine growing over the course of a year. And it's sort of speeded up as one of those videos. And if you were to watch it, and I was to say, look, tell me the point at which you can see the grapes emerge, I think you'd struggle to say, because there's something kind of organic going on here. You can't divide up the growth of the branches with the emergence of the fruit. And what I was going to do with this talk is say, well, look, I'm going to talk about how we remain in Jesus, and then I'm going to talk about what the fruit looks like. The problem is you can't really do that. I'm going to pause this because I think it's going to kill my computer. Hang on, it's going again. Oh gosh, I thought we were going to be trapped in a world of ever-growing vines there. Can you see what I'm trying to get at? You can't quite separate out what it is to remain in Jesus is to bear fruit with him. So if you look at 8, verse 8, Jesus says, "My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." So what is the fruit of the Christian life? Well, it's anything that brings glory to God. And it seems to be sticking with Jesus as a disciple of him, which kind of involves listening to his words and obeying him and following him. So it's just a bit too organic. It's not a production line. I do this to remain in Jesus, and then out comes the fruit. It's far more circular than that. And I think that's important because there'll be times in the Christian life when we might feel as if we're being fruitless. What do we do in that situation? Well, I just remain in Jesus. I keep going with him. And I focus on the promise here. The promise is that if I remain in him, the fruit will come. I don't need to start dividing these things up. Maybe as I look at my life at the moment, I feel a bit fruitless. Well, rather than looking back one day for fruit, I'm better to look back 10 years and see God's slow work within me. But it's as I remain in him that organically I will produce fruit of a life that is pleasing to him. But let's push a bit deeper. What does this fruit look like? Well, there's a number of things we could say. But Jesus seems to put a particular focus on loving each other. And this has been a theme throughout these chapters that we've looked at this last couple of weeks. So verse 10, "If you keep my commands, you'll abide in my love." Obedience is abiding. Verse 12, "This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you." So to remain in Jesus' love means that we're to love each other. So let's think about how this works. How does remaining in Jesus help me to love others? We'll do this as a case study. And I guess the picture for this would be, you know, those ground source heating things people sometimes put into their house where you dig deep into the ground and you suck out the heat from the ground. So what I'm trying to do as I love other Christians is to dig deep into Jesus and to warm my heart with the warmth of his love. So I start to think, how is it that Jesus has loved me? Well, with patience. Loving me when I was unlovely, giving up heaven, loving me without distinction. It's exactly the kind of love I want to be known for. I want to be known as humble and caring and listening. That is the fruitful life. That's the love I long to have. And then Jesus says, right, that's how you've got to love other people. That is hard. Where am I going to get the strength? Well, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. I need to keep going with Jesus. It has to be in him. Because Jesus' life is marked by love and compassion. So when my heart is cold or hard or unkind, I come to Jesus and I pray to him for help. I reflect on his love. I follow his example. So maybe at work, I set up a Christian union to gather some Christians in the office to pray. And the people who come along, I just find them a bit difficult, awkward. Maybe it's a bit embarrassing. Maybe there's someone that our department have just had a run-in with and there they are in the prayer meeting with me. But you know what? Jesus showed me huge patience when he died for me, when I was awkward and a sinner before him. And so I'll try and love other people as he's loved me. Maybe my day's going really badly and a Christian colleague comes and asks to pray with me about something that's really quite small and insignificant. Well, I think of Jesus putting himself out for me. Maybe I go straight from work to church to help at an event. And I think, why is it always me? Why can't someone who's got more free time than me help out? Well, I know Jesus' love. He didn't stand on his rights. You can see what I'm getting at. And Jesus has called us to have a love for each other that is the same as his love. Now, there are plenty of kind people in our offices, in our gyms, in our parents' associations at the schools. But the time we show the real love of Jesus that is different to those around us is when it is hard. And that is the very moment we need to set our hearts and our minds on Jesus' love, to draw on his love. Well, lastly and briefly, we might say, isn't this all hard work? And lastly, I just want to say, to remain in Jesus is to rejoice in Jesus' love. You see verse 11, he says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." What is that joy? Well, particularly here, verse 15, it's to know Jesus' plans. "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." What Jesus does is to tell us his great plans. You know, if we were having tea together, and let's say I had a chauffeur, I could say to my chauffeur, "Go and bring the car around the front." And he would do it because I told him to. But if I said to you, hey, go get the car, let's go out, you'd say, where are we going? Because we're friends, I explain it to you. Well, Jesus here is explaining to his disciples what his God's purposes are, what his wonderful purposes are. I don't know if you ever come across this quote. If you want to build a ship, don't drum up the men to gather wood, divide the work, and give orders. Instead, teach them to yearn for the vast and endless ocean. What has Jesus been doing in these chapters before he goes to the cross, the night before he died? He's speaking to his disciples about his wonderful purposes of bringing a whole people to himself, washed clean, forgiven, knowing God, knowing God's spirit within them, ultimately leading them to heaven. Why do I want to remain in Jesus? Well, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it's a wonderful thing to do. To be a part of this great movement is truly to make the best of my life and to live a life that is fruitful. So look, that feels like quite a lot for me. But to remain in Jesus is to remain in his love, to remain in his commands, and to rejoice in his love. We all want to live a fruitful life. And what Jesus is saying is the way to do that is to work hard at staying close to him. And then the fruit will come.